Today, we're joined by Dr. Brandon Corman, founder and CEO of Bungie Dental Referrals, a cutting-edge platform that's transforming how dental practitioners manage referrals. Brandon really brings a unique perspective as both a practicing dentist and a tech entrepreneur who recognizes a critical pain point in the industry. Brandon has merged his clinical expertise with technological innovation to create a solution that addresses the real-world challenges dentists face daily. His platform is designed by dentists for dentists with a very clear vision to eliminate administrative burden of referrals so dental professionals can focus on what they do best, which is patient care. Welcome to Dental Tech Talks, Brandon. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. It's a pleasure having you and really excited to dig into your referral program, your new venture, which is Bungie Dental Referrals. So we'll just jump right into it. As both a practicing dentist and now you founded Bungie, well, first, what led you to start Bungie? What was the story there? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So coming out of dental school, I did a residency in my hometown of Montreal for a year. And then I started working at a clinic. And I noticed that every time I wanted to send a referral out to a specialist, for example, they would take out the little pad of paper and they'd start jotting down a name and they'd start scanning it and uploading it to an email. And I just thought it was like, you know, to be quite honest, it was embarrassing that, you know, this is a profession which should be on the cutting edge of technology, you know, anything that's caring for people's health and well-being very well should be on the cutting edge. And it just felt really, really, really behind. And, you know, at first when I was at my residency at the hospital, I thought, well, maybe it's just one place. And then I started working in a clinic and I'm like, well, maybe this is the standard. And there hasn't been too many people who didn't have the idea, but actually had the idea and then decided to do something about it and try and bring it up to, a 2025 standard, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, most of the dental industry is kind of lagging on innovation or at least adoption of new technologies. Was there a specific like aha moment where you were like, okay, this is something I want to do, but not just a system that you designed for yourself? Was there a specific moment where you felt that was necessary for the industry as a whole, as opposed to just fixing the problem for yourself?
Yeah, so I remember being at the clinic that I work at now. Mm-hmm. And typically what happens is sometimes I'll see a patient who's coming back from a specialist. Let's say, for example, I decide to send a patient to basically have a tooth taken out and I'm going to do some work after that. And, you refer the patient out and, you know, without one of these digital programs, it's kind of like sending them out into the ether. You never quite know when they're going to come back, right? Because, you know, truth be told, it's very difficult to keep track of patients, especially if you have, you know, a very busy clinic. Or I'll rephrase that. It's difficult to keep track of patients that are temporarily leaving the microenvironment of your office. So when you refer them out, you see what I'm saying? It's hard to keep track of those people.
Yeah. So so a patient comes in, they need a root canal. So you refer them to an ortho or a specialist that's going to do that. Then as they leave your office, you basically lose them out of your micro ecosystem. So this allows you to refer to the specialist, but then still be able to track them back.
So you mean for Bungie?
Yes, for Bungie.
So essentially what it does is, number one, the whole referral process takes place online on one portal. Every transaction between the dentist and the specialist is located in one area. The referrals that go to the specialist, the reports that come back to the dentist, every patient that's referred has their own profile where every referral or report that's ever made for them is always located in one place. And we have a notification system which tells, for example, if I send a referral to a specialist, that there's a there's a referral that's waiting for you, or when a specialist sends us back a report, we get a notification saying there's a report that's come back for you. And well, I'll get into the legal aspect of all of that, but one of the reasons that that's important for us to have is because, going back to what I said before, the reason, the time when I decided that I needed to do something was I was lying at home in bed, and I thought of this patient who I hadn't seen in like 4.5 months. I'm like, where is that guy? And then I remembered, I said, oh my God, I referred him to the surgeon, and I don't know. I haven't heard back from him. Sometimes specialists don't send the reports back, or they don't send it back right away. They're supposed to, but I mean, a lot of them are slammed. It's unlikely mm-hmm. that you're going to get everything back in a reasonable amount of time. And what happens is, right, if a lot of patients, if you don't call them, they're not going to come. You got to be the one to call them. You got to be the one to push them back. And it's not that they don't want to do the work. It's that they rely on the dentist or the specialist to kind of guide them. And truth be told, that's our job, right? It is our job to an extent to find them, to track them down, to remind them, to communicate with them that they have to come in for an appointment, do this and that. So I remember going to my front desk and saying, whatever happened to this patient, I haven't heard anything. And they started scrolling through the email, through our email, and they were looking through the inbox, and they were looking for a report that came in from the surgeon, and they found something, and it turned out we received it 2.5 months ago, but no one ever told me about it. And I thought that was weird, but I guess I understood, because the front desk is just getting these random, they're getting emails. They're getting 50, 60 emails a day. It's easy to oversee an email like that, right? So I needed to make something that, everything is right in front of you. So whether I'm lying down in bed, as a dentist, and I want to open up on my phone and be able to see everything in one place, I could look at every referral that I've sent out. I can see every report that's come back in. And it puts the onus on the dentist and on the team to kind of do a better job at following up, because now you don't really have an excuse to let people, fall through the system. Everything's right in front of your face. It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, very interesting solution. Never personally thought about it, but I'm also not a dentist, Brendan. So it's something I think that comes from your personal experience, and I'm sure a lot of dentists could relate. But like, what made you take that leap forward? The founder journey is a very lonely journey, generally, at least the early stages. It definitely takes a leap of faith to decide to, hey, let's build this platform. Was it just mainly laying in bed, realizing this is a massive problem and this is actually going to provide better patient care, as well as give better visibility for all the dentists and be able to follow up with everyone, which everyone wins in that scenario, right? But I've founded a couple of companies in my life so far, and I know it's a long journey. Did you have any, like, a co-founder that kind of you talked to on the technical side, or what drove you into starting your own company?
Yeah, so great question. So, I'm still practicing as a dentist. I've had to cut back my hours because this is something I really believe in. So I'm really, dedicating a lot of time towards getting it out there. But I'm very lucky to have known my co-founder, who is our software engineer, who basically built this from the ground up on his own. He's my childhood friend, who I've known since I was 10 years old. Basically, I know that it's built up to standard, and I could say that beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's excellent, excellent, excellent stuff. From its very bare bones, it's compliant in every way. And him and I spent a lot of time after work, get home at 5. Have a glass of water, get going, communicate, talk, discuss the structuring, what we want to do, what it's going to look like, till midnight, 1 a.m. And we did that straight for like 4 or 5 months, And it didn't take that long to build, to be honest with you, because we pride ourselves on its simplicity. And that's our distinguishing feature, I think, that really sets us apart from some of the other slightly similar programs that are out there, is that we're not promising any more than this exact thing. We are simply a portal that handles communication between general dentists and specialists. And we don't want to be anything more. We don't want to be anything less. And we are going to do exactly that. And we're going to do it the best, better than anyone else. But it's a very simple, bare bones thing. And we basically developed it understanding that, you know, a lot of the dentists are baby boomers and they're in their 60s and, you know, they don't, some of them don't know how to use computers too well. And it's really got to be. And also a lot of receptionists, front desk managers, people working at the front desk, a lot of them also, they started with these baby boomer dentists. They've been with the dentist for 30, 35 years. Some of these receptionists also are in their 60s and 70s. And it's difficult to adopt technology that's complex to use. So we really, really, really made it as simple as possible. There's only a few buttons. You can't make a mistake.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I totally agree as far as making things simple, especially in the beginning. You focus on what you do best and you do it really well. Then you could bolt on new features as you develop, you validate the, figure out if there's a good product market fit, you get some clients, kind of get everything going. And then you could move on that side. I do have a question in terms of like HIPAA compliance. So you are transferring, I guess maybe an easier way is if you refer a patient, you are sending their medical data across within the platform. How do you guys manage that compliance? Is it just security protocols? Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah. So part of our design is, I was talking about how it's the bare minimum. We don't transfer any health data.
Mm.
We don't want to get involved in that. Our basically, of course, it's end-to-end encrypted, right? So the dentist and the specialist each have their credentials to get in, right? And so, you know, you have the full encryption end-to-end, which makes it much more safer than a lot of emails, which a lot of clinics are using, which is not sufficiently encrypted to be sending patient health data. And actually in Canada, Law 5, they passed last year. You know, there's laws that are coming into play, which are kind of, which are basically making, you know, transferring patient health data more difficult, and they're getting more strict on it, and it is punishable by fines. And they haven't really gone, you know, they haven't gotten to independent dental clinics yet. They've already hit some of the DSOs. I'm sure, well, I don't know if you know, but Dental Care has had an issue. You know, they settled for a few million bucks.
For the listeners that don't understand what happened exactly in that case, could you mind sharing?
So basically there was a leak of a bunch of data from some of their patients, and they settled out of court for $3 million. That's basically, that's the type of money, even for a big company like that, you know, at the bottom line, that hurts, right? It's
yeah,
a big
absolutely.
Hit. And it's super, I mean, you know, just it takes one compliance officer to just, you know, say we have to implement this for safety purposes. And like I was going back to say, you know, we don't want the people who are working at clinics who are using our portal to spend any more time than absolutely required on the portal. Everyone at the dental clinic has enough things to do, right? And again, some of the other competitors, they have this portal that tracks how much money you spend on, you know, your general dentist to bring back, more clients, and a whole bunch of fancy features. And you got to input the medical history. Time to do that. It's too complicated, right?
Yeah.
We wanted to make something that basically plugs in, go ahead, use it. That's it. So what do we have? Technically, it's considered patient health data, but it's not medical history. We have an x-ray, we have the name, maybe we have email address, phone number, birth date, that's it, right? Basically, just what you need, the referral, what they're being referred for, but we're not taking in an excessive amount of information because, like I said, we pride ourselves on simplicity, and a lot of clinics just don't have the time to input all of this extra information. It makes adoption very, very difficult. And what our goal is to do is to kind of be this company or this portal that can be a centralized thing where a lot of people can use it. And, you know, those things have to be very easy to adopt. They have to just be able to plug in to whatever systems you're currently using and not basically change or uproot everything in your clinic that you're already using.
Very interesting. I have a couple of questions there, basically, which I agree in terms of like removing all the fancy analytics. Oftentimes you have platforms with so many features, most of them are not used. They're overdeveloped. But you mentioned that you do integrate with EHRs and PMS systems, correct? Like, does it integrate? How does the data flow, I guess, is what I'm asking from a technical side.
We're not integrated at all. We're totally agnostic.
Okay.
We're agnostic by choice. Number one, kind of saves us a little bit, you know, with potential HIPAA risks with data transfers between other softwares. And also, again, we don't really see the need for it.
Yeah.
The need for it, because we don't see any one particular software kind of trumping the market or taking a big market share in the future. And if we did, and if there was kind of one software which basically had, you know, the proof was in the pudding and they were going to basically, you know, have 80 or 90% of the dentists, then I could see us integrating with that. But for the time being now, with the amount of different softwares there are, you know, the whole other thing is every clinic works with their own system. You know, it's like, what are the chances that one clinic that refers to another clinic is using the same software? For, you know, from my perspective, just in terms of that, the integration is just, it's not so important.
Yeah, I agree with you, which is why we started Heydonto, was specifically to solve that problem, where it's one API endpoint to allow you to connect to all the different systems, because we realized early on that that's a major bottleneck in the industry. You have all these different PMS systems. How do we standardize that data and, you know, give patients or dentists access to it in this case? Very interesting. In the development journey, what would you say was your hardest part of it? Like, what was like really challenging? What was an aspect of developing your platform that you didn't really expect to be as perhaps difficult as it was? Was it more just the ideation process that took longer? Was it kind of testing out features to see or how it works and the flow of everything?
So the ideation for me was super simple. I knew exactly what I wanted, and it made it even easier that I didn't want to make it very difficult or complicated. So, you know, the ideation, like you say, was really easy. The hard part, or the challenging part, was basically going to clinics, you know, for basically my first adopters, getting them on it, using it.
Yeah, the first customers.
Yeah, of course. And I purposefully targeted clinics that I knew were basically going to be my harshest critics. Like, I went to an oral surgeon's office who's 65 years old, and his receptionist is 70 years old.
He's not holding any punches.
Right, exactly. And he's the type, like, he'll just tell you, yeah, just F off. And I said, if I could get these people comfortable, then anybody could do it. So, and you know, they had their fair share of difficulties understanding certain things, right? Linking emails and this and that stuff. That's basically an afterthought for people from our generation, right? But that was basically it. Just, you know, getting in there, seeing how, you know, people think, and seeing how people who are so used to doing the same thing for, you know, the same thing for 30 years, even though it's a simple thing to do, having to transfer over and kind of change your ways is very, very difficult. And a lot of times that's the big issue with adopting this type of technology, is that people don't like to change unless they have to.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think that these laws that are, you know, basically it's not a question of if, it's a question of when, these laws are going to be the things that are going to force people to change. And it would be better if people didn't wait to get kicked off their chair, rather they kind of were proactive and, you know, did themselves a favor and, you know, lived up to 2025, right?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, adoption is always slow, especially as you said, with the different generations, it's more tech oriented. So it's a new skill, new thing to pick up. Congratulations, first of all, on getting a 65-year-old, and you said 70, to use the platform and be happy about it. Yeah. You did well there.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll start with that. So that was awesome. And on totally a bit of another note, have you seen an uptick in patient satisfaction and retention? Was that something, you know, like, was there any measurable improvements there so far based on the clinics that you're working with?
Yeah. So in terms of patient satisfaction, I wouldn't call it satisfaction, but for sure, you know, patients seem to be following up a lot more because, you know, through our portal, they're getting the referral is being sent to them as an email, not a piece of paper that they're going to crumple in their pocket and throw in the garbage, you know, the following day. I can't tell you, before I created this, I have the same patient. Hey, where's your referral? Didn't I give you a referral? You know, it's the fourth time I've written this guy a referral, you know? And I mean, I don't mind, right? But it's like, you know, there's got to be a better way, right? So, you know, people who have their referrals and don't lose it are a lot more likely to do something with it, right? That's common sense. So people have been actually following through more. And then on more than patient satisfaction, you know, the dental staff satisfaction is high. And that transfers into patient satisfaction because, you know, I don't know if you've ever been into a dental clinic where you could, you know, you could cut the tension with a knife and everyone's kind of miserable and not happy, stressed. That's not a very pleasant environment to be in. And a lot of patients will not go back to those clinics. And I mean, good for them. They shouldn't, right? Because a lot of times you could feel a very toxic environment. But I mean, when you try to make the lives of your team members easier, kind of, well, it makes everyone's life a little more enjoyable, not only the team members, but also the patients too, right? So I guess in a way you can say patient satisfaction, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is. Yeah, it's interesting because you kind of talked me out of it where I was like, actually, yeah, it doesn't really measure, but it does because if the staff is happy, then the people are happy. You walk into good vibes. Everyone's chirpy. And like you said, it doesn't feel quite as toxic of an environment, right?
Yeah. You're like, oh, maybe they're going to send me to another toxic, clinic to the next, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You're in a loop of toxic cycle.
Yeah.
So I know you're adamant about doing one thing and doing it well, right? Like as far as the referral program.
Yeah.
Which I like the simplicity of it. But do you see it evolving in any other way? Maybe do you have anything on your roadmap? And look ahead, you know, 2 to 3 years. The two-part question here. That's one. And two, do you see yourself using any AI capabilities within this platform? Or do you have anything of sorts in your roadmap?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have some plans for the future for sure. One thing we'd like to implement is since our system is basically, the point of it is to handle all communication that, it, you know, partakes in not the clinic itself, but, you know, the clinic vis-a-vis every other aspect of dentistry. So we'd also eventually, we're thinking about maybe including the labs, dental labs into this, which is a big thing, right? So you can follow up with that. And then the other thing is we would potentially consider maybe having people be able to prepay for consultations at specialist clinics, which could be interesting. As for the need for AI, there's definitely something there. I still need to mature a little bit to see, you know, in what way there's definitely something there. It's going to benefit us somehow and we'll definitely be integrating it, but I'm just not sure how yet.
It makes sense. And I mean, I believe there's always a place to integrate an LLM, a large language model, and have it do something within most workflows, but it has to make sense. And I think anything that takes away a lot from the simplicity, then it defeats the whole point of why you built this application in the first place. And obviously you're getting good feedback from the market. You have a use case that's working, which, speaking of that, what are some like positive feedbacks that you've gotten from dentists, right? Not specific to the tech, but just like, hey, you know what? That was awesome. Maybe we generated some more revenue because now we're following up with like old patients. Have you gotten any of that from your current users?
For sure. Yeah. So what we're hearing from the users is basically, you know, number one, because I can keep track of my patients and I have a list of who's out and where they are, I could get them back right away for treatment, right? Mm. Which is super important because, you know, a lot of clinics talk about how you got to, you got to increase your number of patients. You know, the truth is that every, you know, from an economic standpoint and a business standpoint, every patient can be a piggy bank, you know,
right.
If you want them to. There's always opportunities with everybody. Everyone has something they want or something they need. You got to be able to know how to coax it out of somebody, right? The patients that you do have, you know, you just got to get them back in faster because there's a lot of treatment that a lot of these people need. And you already have a treatment plan that was accepted, right? And, you know, you send them out for a referral for part one and you don't follow up on part two and part three and part four. And they're there. They're committed. They're ready to go. They already saw the specialist. They want to do the treatment, you know, but you know, you don't have to go looking elsewhere for more patients. The patients you have are enough, right? But use the patients you have. If you're not calling them back in to get treatment done, right? That's on you. And they're there and they're ready and they want to do the treatment. So it's about basically following up as quick as possible, getting them in, doing the treatment quick, because that's not only good for the dentist, that's good for the patient too. You don't want them waiting around for treatment. That's not good. I mean, you know, the prognosis of the treatment is not going to be as good. So when things turn around quick, it's better for everybody.
Well said, honestly, and it's pretty easy to implement. So everyone listening, make sure you use Bungie to track all your referrals. Well, it's really been a pleasure having you, Brandon, getting to know more about your platform. I can't wait to watch you grow it more and expand it. Are you currently just in Canada or are you servicing the US as well?
Yeah, the United States and Canada for now.
Amazing. Well, for all the listeners out there, where do they find you? What's your website? If they have any questions or they're curious about pricing model or they just want to use your platform, where do they find you?
Yeah, so the website is bungiedental.com, and you can reach out to me personally at brandon@bungiedental.com. Super simple. We basically have kind of like a subscription service, which is very similar to LinkedIn, which is we have a basic, which will allow general dentists to send up to 25 referrals per month for free. And if you need more, you could subscribe and pay for like a premium service. You know, we're really, since we're kind of young, we're not so concerned about the money right now. What I'm really looking for, what we're looking for is getting a lot of users, because this is one of those things that really becomes amazing when everyone gets on the same page, right? And we're seeing that in a lot of the micro communities that we've started growing in, right? When all of the dentists, you know, who work with one specialist, when all those dentists are sending the specialist referrals, you know, on Bungie, it makes the whole process a lot more seamless.
Well, it's been really a pleasure having you, Brandon, and can't wait to have you again and see the development of the platform.
Yeah, awesome, man. Thanks for having me. You're great.
Thank you.
Thanks.